Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, leaks, and
rumors.
The filthy Ruiz.
On the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. I am the greatest YouTuber in the world, Dan Allen of Dan Allen Gaming. I'm joined by Vikarth, the professor of gaming, the solid snake to my Nathan Drake, the stealth king, unless he's playing Far Cry 6, and the creator of Dan Allen Gaming YouTube channel, Vikarth. How are you?
Doing well. Actually, haven't played a video game in 3 weeks now, so it'll be fun to. And I won't be playing this weekend either. So
you're a fake gamer, man.
I'm keen to get back into it.
Socializing, eh?
Yes, that is correct.
And the cops are on you as well. You're in Gotham City.
Sorry, I just muted for everyone there in case they heard. Living in the CBD, it's just nonstop cops and ambos just driving around.
And but we're also joined by the God of Thunder, the Trophy Hunter, the Platinum King, the Trophy Connoisseur, Jordan.
I'm doing well as well.
Stop stealing my catchphrase, mate.
Yeah, I had a plan. I was going to say I'm doing wonderful. And then Dan didn't actually ask me how I was doing.
No, I didn't really care. Sorry, man.
What do I say now? I froze.
Now, this week, we're going to be discussing the Fantasy Critic update, what we've been playing this week, a massive week of news, and a couple of other tidbits. Let's get straight into it, guys. First off, we do have a giveaway on our Instagram for Deathloop. If you want to get involved, just head to PS5 Central Podcast on Instagram and check out one of the recent posts, and you can get yourself a copy of Deathloop. We'll be announcing that winner any day now, won't we, Vikarth?
Yes, we will.
Now, the Fantasy Critic, if you don't know about that, at the start of the year, we all put our games down on what we thought we'd get the best Metacritic, and the points have been tallied, and we're getting towards the end of the year now. Vikarth currently has 105 points. Oof. Jordan has 67 points. Dan has 114 points. Let's see what's left. Dan has Battlefield 2042, and that's it. That's all I've got left.
No, you don't. You have more than that.
I've got Chorus as well. And Chorus. That's it. Everything else will not release.
Wowza.
You're right.
Yeah. Last of Us Factions 2 will not release. Lego Star Wars will not release. Dying Light did me in.
You got Vanguard and Battlefield, right?
Yeah, Vanguard's only at 77 at this point, so
it'll get a bit of a bump, I think.
Jordan, Hollow Knight Silk Song, is that still to come?
Oh, I don't think that's coming. Let me have a look. I was looking at an article before about what's still to come this year, and I don't think that was on there. That's not
Halo coming. Infinite.
That's next week.
Ruined King, a League of Legends story.
No idea. Did I choose
Solar
that?
Ash? Solar Ash coming?
That's coming.
Yep. Yep. And a cyberpunk bartender action game. No idea what that is.
I have no idea what that is.
You're scraping the bottom of the barrel there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
So you need Halo and you need Solar Ash to get high nines to have a chance here, I think, Jordan.
Yeah. So apparently, I'm just looking at a list here. So 5 days ago, that Ruined King game, there was an article that came out from that NVIDIA leak, and it says it might come out on November the 16th. Solar Ash is still locked to come out this year, I believe, which isn't too far away either. And Halo's next week. So there's still three there. So if I get, in the 90s somewhere, that's not too bad.
Now, what was the, whoever loses, what did they have to do? Have we figured that out?
I don't think we ever decided.
We're going to have to.
I need to get my PS3 out to do the bloody spare parts plan.
You've only got 2 months, mate.
Yeah, that'll be my, when holidays are in December on, that'll be what I'll do.
I finished Godfall.
Yeah, you're all clear. Vikarth.
What are we going to do for Dan if he ever loses one, Vike? We've got to do something nasty game he's got to play or platinum.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, well, we'll figure something
Nothing out. Like too cruel, because obviously we don't want him doing like MK9 platinum. But it's gotta be like, what's the game that he just what if it's
Fight Keena? Night round four?
What if it's Keena? He's got a platinum Keena.
Yeah, that's not a bad one. But is if the Keena plat includes the hardest mode, that'd be good.
It does.
Yeah, yeah, Dan. That'd be a punishment, man. That game will infuriate you to no end.
Fike, you've only got Cuphead DLC not coming, I don't think.
Don't think that's coming.
And Crossfire X, which not coming.
I don't think so. Shovel Knight?
So that means I'm pretty much the winner.
So there's still unless I nail it with these last few games.
Don't I still have Shin Megami Tensei?
No, that's already come out, 86.
The other thing I would say is, am I getting credited for Forza or am I getting stiffed for that?
Oh, okay.
Well, we can't change the system, man. So technically you are getting stiffed because you chose the wrong
Forza
game.
Motorsport. So you would have got how many points? You would be in the lead. That's unlucky, man.
It is.
Unlucky.
So what was the rule again, guys? If a game went over 90, did you get double points for it? Is that the way it works?
No, I think every point over.
You would have got 22 points. So you'd be on 127. You'd be 13 ahead. But you don't have any releasing, and I've got Battlefield. It should get more than 13. So
you're right. It should get, well, you're saying it should get 83 or
it
or
should
above.
Get 84 or higher. You would think.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Now it all depends on whether
and
Crossfire.
Chorus. Is Chorus coming out?
Not sure. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, so I should be safe. Then. I saw today. Yeah, that should get me over the line.
But is that the sequel to Anthem? Or is it a prequel?
You're so funny, man. I forgot what Anthem was for a second. Yeah,
I like that. That was good.
Vike.
Don't worry, he's had a Bioware.
Vike had a few will not releases. Gran Turismo 7.
Did Vike have a few, did he? Have a look at my list.
I'll go through yours. Gotham Knights, Shovel Knight, King of Fighters, Total War, Rainbow Six Extraction, Legend of Zelda 2, Destiny 2. Jordan had Elden Ring, Horizon, God of War, Ghostwire. You had a good list, man. Hellblade 2. Jeez, if these hit, you win easy.
I think
you always said that.
Yeah. I did. I took a punt though. I like went early. I was like, I'm either winning or I'm losing. That was my methodology.
You went the all or nothing. I like it. I respect it.
Your best performer, Jordan, was Guilty Gear Strive with 16 points.
Yeah.
My best performer was Psychonauts 2 and It Takes Two with
19
points.
Is Psychonauts 2 out on PS5?
PS4.
PS4.
Yep. And Vicast's best performer was Monster Hunter Rise and Deathloop with 18 points.
Did I have Deathloop? Nice.
Yeah. No one had Forza Horizon. That could have changed everyone.
It could have, Dan.
Well, we'll give it to you, Vike, anyway. Okay. What did we play this week? So Vike's played nothing.
Dan, what have you played?
I have played Vanguard. Call of Duty Vanguard.
Tell us your thoughts. Give us your thoughts on the whole package.
You two weren't keen on it, were you?
Doesn't make Call of Duty look soft.
Now, the campaign, guys, is very short, unfortunately. Like, we're talking 4.5 hours.
4.5.
Is it good, though? Is it a good
campaign?
Yeah,
it's good, but when it's that short, it's hard to recommend it, you know, when it's that short.
So cutscenes on YouTube, you reckon?
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately.
Good performances. Is it even worth that? Is it even worth
performances? And I really, like, I enjoyed some of the missions for sure, especially the ones with Laura Bailey's Polina Petrova. It reminded me a bit of some of those Reznov missions from World of War. But it just cut short, and it's missing some of those choices from the last two campaigns that me and Vike really love, where you could choose the outcomes to things. None of that in this. It's just one line the whole way through. I like the little crew of the four Vanguard members.
Yeah, it's sort of like a mini Avengers sort of.
Yeah.
They're all from different nations. And
they definitely have a camaraderie there, and they all work well.
Because I think what is really cool or appealing to me to see them banter or talk to each other, especially with the Russian, you know, with sort of interacting with the other allied nations would be really interesting.
Yeah, and it's really good that there's an Aussie finally in a just in a game in general that you can play as and
yeah, Junkrat and Overwatch,
calling people wankers and dickheads. It's amazing, man. Like
that's true.
We don't get that, so that was a real treat. And I don't know, it just graphic wise, it's great. It even had what's his name, Dominic Monaghan, you know, the guy from Lord is of the Rings. It's Lost. Do you know who I'm thinking
yeah,
of?
Isn't it Merry or Pippin?
It's Merry.
Yeah.
Merry, yeah.
He's in it as a German Merry villain, Brandybuck. I didn't know it was him. It looks like him, but the accent was so off-putting and the character, I'm thinking, no, this can't be him. And then I'm like, it is him. He did a great job. And then the main villain, Freisinger, whoever that is, he's incredible.
Isn't that what you ordered from KFC?
That's a Zinger box. Hermann Freisinger, I think that's how you say it. He was phenomenal as a villain. Just didn't get enough screen time. Like it's just, I just wish it was double the time. That's all. Because
a common critic for many games is that the villain never gets enough screen time. Is it?
Isn't that interesting?
Especially when they usually try to make the villain so interesting.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of effort goes into it because you want to hate this villain, but like. Yeah, no, you're exactly right.
I've very rarely seen games where the villain's in it for a lot or, you know, like...
An exception to the rule I can think of.
What's a game with a villain that had a lot of screen time?
Borderlands 2 with Handsome Jack.
Yeah.
He's constantly in your ear. And then you don't get to... Like, you don't actually get to see him that much.
Troy Baker, is it?
It might be. Let me have a look.
Because there's
a few times where like Handsome Jack just pops up and does things that makes you hate them. Now it's voiced by Damian Clark.
Of course, yeah. I should have known that.
No, that's the best example I can think of.
GLaDOS?
Portal? That's a good one. Yeah.
And one I did like, technically not the villain, but Arkham Knight, the Joker.
Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah, he's with you the whole time.
Yeah. So what's your favorite COD villain, guys? Just quickly here.
It's got to be.
Is it Shepard?
Yeah.
Makarov?
I was going to say Makarov, but Shepard.
Does Black Ops 1 have a villain? Not really, is it?
It's yourself.
Yeah, it's yourself.
You're your own villain. But, man.
Menendez? He was good.
He was good. When Shepard... did my boy Ghost Dirty. That was... Watch compilations of people seeing that for the first time. It's just fun. It's just so devastating.
Do you know where I can find an interview with the original actor of Ghost?
Yeah, man. Dan Allen Gaming. So... my channel. You'll see a plethora of interviews with a variety of video
I will be
interviewing
actors. Some of these Vanguard guys too. So that'll be fun.
So Dan will be interviewing Gary Oldman as the voice of Victor Reznov.
But it would have been nice to see Reznov pop up. I don't know. Maybe there wasn't much connection. Like Black Ops had a connection to Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare had a connection to Black Ops. This one, they throw out a couple of lines at the end, but it's really nothing, you know?
Because what I thought they could do is like, are they trying? Like, I always thought the Modern Warfare universe and the Black Ops universe were separate.
They were separate, and now they're together now.
Yeah,
as of 2019.
Maybe they're trying to create a Vanguard universe, then merge that all. I don't know.
Yeah, well, they mentioned something from Black Ops in Vanguard.
Yeah, I saw
so they
that.
Are connected, but it wasn't as much as the other games. Anyway. And then you got the zombies component of Vanguard, which is pretty much really bad, terrible.
Yeah, I've heard like scathing reviews.
Yeah, just really, I feel sorry for Treyarch because they got the skill. They were obviously pressured into getting this out ASAP. And it's just...
Is Treyarch doing the zombies part of this? Because isn't it Sledgehammer that does this?
Sledgehammer did the game, but they didn't do the zombies. Treyarch did the zombies for this. Yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah.
Just... all the things wrong, doing everything wrong, especially for that zombie community. They're not happy. And
Jordan and I were talking about the zombies and, you know, it's We thought it was just too much about the Easter egg, too much about these long-term drawn-out objectives. And then we both were like, why don't we just bring it back to you have to survive, you can pack a punch, get perks, teleport, all that sort of stuff where Kino really peaked. But then we thought, well, then I thought, I guess, people's attention spans are a bit too short. You know what I mean? Like that, that's not going to keep people occupied, the kids occupied these days. You know, they need objectives and things to go for and to build on. And I could see why they're trying to evolve the Call of Duty zombies to have missions, to have to actually be able to finish the zombies mode, right? You know, and that sort of thing.
So, instead of endlessly going around.
Yeah. Because, you know, I was thinking about this, like when we were in high school and there wasn't when we were playing zombies, there was not really much internet, right? Like, for me, if I survived up to wave 25, wave 30, and I told all my friends and none of them beat my wave, that was like, I was the best. Like, you know what I mean? No one else is better. But now, if I get to wave 30, I'll just look at someone on YouTube with wave 50, wave 60. And it's like, it just ruins the fun of like trying to be the best out of all your mates, you know? And like, I don't know. It's just for a different time, I guess. Different time period. Yeah. I don't know.
I see that's what part you're of saying.
Because I remember like, yeah, like, oh, you know, I got to wave 30 and there's like, oh, I went to wave 30.
There's so many good people now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just that the good people. Like all the cheese to use to get away from zombies. They figured out like when you need to duck, when you need to slide. Mm. Like, sliding's in there now, so it's easier. Yeah. I'm not disappointed by the zombies really. Like I said, it's disappointing, but like I was never going to play it because I've fallen off zombies since it went Easter egg driven.
Yeah. Exactly. I think zombies is dead in Warzone. They're going to BR.
Well, so there was some leaks and rumors, as we like to report on here, about Modern Warfare, next year's COD, Modern Warfare 2, they're calling it, right? There's a new mode that will replace Special Ops, okay? This is from a well-known leaker in the community who's been right multiple times. So, you know, we'll still take it with a grain of salt, but I'll read it out. The premise of this new mode is Infinity Ward plans to shed away their standard Spec Ops mode and have a more fleshed out cross-disciplinary component of their realistic survival shooter, resemblant of Battlefield 2042's Hazard Zone mode, but more similar to Escape from Tarkov. The objective of the mode is to accumulate loot within several separate maps before successfully extracting, plundering through abandoned homes, vehicles, crates, and corpses. Each map's architecture varies between large landmass and vast districts. There are a number of extraction points. The combat is imperative as generally items are found on the back of others. 20 to 35 players. Movement is considerably slower. Large emphasis on armor. Your loadout is important. Likely to launch in beta mode. Solos at launch. Duos, trios, quads to release later. Mode is to exist independently. So that is apparently the third mode of Modern Warfare. What do you think, guys?
The thing that stuck out to me the most there, obviously this is just a leak or, you know, whatever it is. Why would you not release with at least some party mode first?
Why is it on launch with solos?
Yeah, that's insane to me.
Yeah, well, that's subject to change. So don't
obviously, that's just a leak. I hope that, and I should take it, tone it back a little bit. You need to have some sort of party mode. Like already I look at that and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to play it yet. I'll wait till there's a party involved. Cause that just doesn't interest me playing that sort of game on my own. It sounds interesting. Definitely seems like a game mode where you need to try it first. Cause it sort of sounds, obviously those details are very vague and it is a leak after all.
Yeah, it's like Division, you know, what do you do in Division? What's that mode where you go to
The dark zone.
It's pretty much that, is it not?
Sort of. Yeah, it's like, but what's the actual objective? Are you outlasting everyone?
You're trying to get loot and you can leave at any point when you're happy with the loot that you've got, I believe.
So what do you then use the loot for?
I think it strengthens you to be able to get to the middle. So if you've played
I'm not sure, man.
If you've played Escape from Tarkov, it's sort of like, I think they're going for that because Escape from Tarkov was quite popular and it wasn't a battle royale. It was more like everyone starts and you've got to go to a centralized extraction point. And I think it's whoever makes it to the extraction point. So
whatever it is, it's good because it's different. It's not Spec Ops and it's not zombies.
That being said, I loved Spec Ops. Like, I've always, Spec Ops has always had a special place in my heart. Modern Warfare Spec Ops was a lot of fun. Remember me, you, Mitch, and stuff, we played it all together, and the missions were insane. Like, some of them we were fighting tooth and nail. And it was just,
they've got to change it up, man.
They do. They've
got to change
it up. It just sucks that it's one of my favorite game modes. It's not, I know that it's not popular. It's just my unpopular opinion that I love it.
Spec Ops would have been good in Vanguard, I would have thought, you know?
Mm.
Or Black Ops.
It would have actually been different because we haven't had like a Spec Ops mode in World War II.
Yeah, era. Exactly.
That would have been cool.
Exactly. So, and anyway, the multiplayer side of Vanguard is actually a lot of fun. It's just plagued by a lot of different bugs at the moment. I got to say, these are the best set of maps in years in a Call of Duty. Best set of maps, which
really,
I'm very happy to report.
Multiplayer maps?
Yeah, multiplayer maps. Really, really good maps. And most people in the community would agree. There's a couple of dodgy ones, but for the most part...
There always is dodgy ones. Just for the most part, nice to hear that there's less dodgy ones than there is good ones.
Yeah, there's a couple of bangers. And the only issues at the moment is the time to kill is very fast, extremely fast, too fast.
Especially when everyone just using MP40s and STGs.
Correct.
That's the same as a beta.
I'm whipping out the sniper and I'm dominating. You've got what else? The challenges aren't loading properly, like some of the camo challenges. The spawns are off. You know, just the typical things. You think after 25 Call of Duties, they get this shit right, but there's still all these issues at launch. It's like, come on, guys. Really?
Are you playing?
And you had a beta and an alpha.
Are you playing the gunfight tournament mode as well?
Champion Hill, I did dip in. It's gotten a little stale for me at the moment. I don't know.
I think we played the crap out of it at the beta.
That was so much fun. Yeah. That was the most fun I've had on a COD multiplayer mode that wasn't Warzone years.
It's more intense and it's more strategic. But
What was funny was that you initially weren't a fan and then we all played together.
And again, I played it on my own. I played it on my own with Timmy No Thumbs and like stunk it up. And I'm like, how's this fun?
You guys probably like the multiplayer, but it might not be enough to get you involved.
No, it doesn't sound like my sort of package.
But I haven't prestiged in a COD in years, to be honest. So this is big for me anyway, to be enjoying it that much. So now I just wanted to touch on before we go to you, Jordan. Forza being such a good game, Forza Horizon 5. And I was talking to you guys off air. I think Xbox have beaten PlayStation this year. Now, you came back at me, Jordan. You disagreed.
I disagreed because there was a bit of a list. So if we go back to the list that you presented.
It's return for PlayStation, it's Returnal, Deathloop, Ratchet & Clank, Kena.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, would you put Deathloop in there? It's going to be coming out on PS.
But if we're talking about this year,
okay,
you need to, yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon
now,
you have to.
And Jordan wanted to include Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding. I say no.
They came out on PS.
They are director's cuts. So there is a bit of.
They came out last.
I know what you're saying.
They came out earlier. Come on, guys.
But then,
I mean, they came out this year, though.
The list Dan provided. So if we look at this list that Dan provided of Xbox games, so we've got Death's Door, Forza, Halo, Psychonauts 2. The Medium, Flight Sim, Age of Empires, 12 minutes. So Psychonauts 2 is on PlayStation as well.
It's on PS4, yeah, I guess. Not PS5, though.
Death's Door is coming to PlayStation this year as well.
PS5? Okay.
So then you've got Forza, Halo, The Medium, Flight Sim, Age of Empires, 12 minutes.
Medium's on PS5.
Let me just say that...
Is it? Is The Medium on PS5?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Psychonauts 2... is in the 90s, Forza's in the 90s, and Flight Sim is in the 90s. Not a single PlayStation game is in the 90s.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Well, Psychonauts is on PlayStation as well, isn't it? That still counts as coming.
But I guess...
It's not a 90 on the PS4.
I think it's also important to say that I would, even though it's on PlayStation, George, it's an Xbox first-party game, right? So you would still consider that Xbox.
You consider it theirs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just think they've won this year, in my opinion. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. The only thing I was really pushing back against was The Medium was a game that was listed there.
Yeah, The Medium's just there as...
I don't know. I didn't hear one person talk nicely about that. They were very much like, It is just a tepid, mediocre game.
Yeah, I didn't like it personally. Yeah.
You were arguing against me with it.
I didn't like it, man. I agree. But then no, I there were people that liked it, man. There were people that enjoyed it for what it was.
I'm sure there are people who liked
it. And it tried to experiment
with awesome pony game, but
different things. Like it had the different life and death and that this and that. It tried new things, which you have to commend it for, even though it didn't succeed, in my opinion. Anyway,
I'm more in the middle, so I'm not sure what to think. I think Microsoft have done well with their quantity of games, but you're right, Dan. There is a lot of quality there with Flight Sim and Forza. All these games getting 90s because PlayStation obviously have some good games too on their side as well. So I just think it's really awesome that we can finally have this conversation. And there's an actual debate here because nothing is better than competition in the market. And that's I love that Xbox have it, being really competitive. And it's just good to have these, because it spurs them on to be better, to be more consumer friendly so they can, have stronger one up on the opposition. So I like it. I love competition. It's always good.
There hasn't been a competition in years. That's why I brought it up. PlayStation have won the last how many years? 7 years,
Yeah,
easy
long
in
time.
My mind.
Long time.
So that's just something to consider. And Vike, Jordan, you've been playing Death Stranding just quickly. Is it?
Yeah. So I really only played it a little bit. So yeah. I did like the new, there's the Valve missions and the Cyberpunk missions. So I just did those just to dip my toes in a little bit. It was a little bit sad going back to the game and some of the structures I'd had built and the zipline networks I had built were gone. That really hurt.
Oh, why?
It really affected me. And not because I'm not annoyed at the game or anything. Because over time, your structures degrade and stuff. So I can only assume that's why.
Classic
probably a server thing.
Yeah, or it could be a server thing. Yeah, I just noticed that a lot of I had massive zipline networks built so that I could deliver things
that's
between
annoying.
Stations and
those zip lines typically. They're perfect for it.
Yeah, and there's mountain passes you have to go over, and I had it set up perfectly so you didn't have to you could get literally from one point to the map to the diagonal other side without touching the ground.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, so that hurt a little bit, but it was nice to get back and just play it. Man, it's beautiful, and the frame rate's so smooth.
Hold on, you got the plat for free?
No, not for free. Not for free. So you have to go back and you have to craft everything again.
Okay.
You've got to upgrade the new structures and build the new structures, and then you've got to S rank a few races to then get structures to build again. So all my other trophies though I got for free.
Yeah.
But yeah, it took me about 6 hours.
Yeah, it's a cool.
Yeah,
it looks cool.
But yeah, the game runs so much faster. Like the loading screens and everything runs so much faster.
Does it look significantly better or not?
The frame rate's a lot better. Frame rate makes it look so much, so much better.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there's a few things as you get back into it. I don't know if it's queued up for it to happen. It might have been one of the first. I don't know, because I did a lot of playing the game after I finished it anyway. But yeah, there's this one line that Sam has. And yeah, it made me a little bit emotional. I was like, oh, I'm back. I'm back. I'm so glad to be back. So yeah, if time could stand still, that'd probably be one of the games I'd go back and play. Because I put 100 hours into it. And that was a very heavy 100 hours. Because it's such a methodical and
I would have put 50 hours into it.
Relaxing game.
Yeah.
Relaxing at times. But yeah, I recommend if no one's played Death Stranding and you've been waiting...
It goes from relaxing to stressful in a second.
Yeah, hyper stressful. Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. And Vike, again, hasn't played anything because he's
Death Stranding.
He's got too many friends.
Now, here's an interesting tidbit. So I went back to Melbourne for the last 2 weeks just to see my family and friends because I haven't seen them in so long because of lockdown. It's been about half a year. So I wouldn't bring my PS5 on the plane. I just think it's a bit too much of a hassle and it can break and things. And I'm also planning to come back at the end of the year, the Christmas break, which would be probably 3 weeks at least minimum. So my thinking is I probably won't bring my PS5. I don't want to bring it on a plane and, you know, put it in the carrot, like put it in checked bag and all that sort of stuff.
Just send it, man. Oz Post will take care of it.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, and here's a testament to PS5 isn't really necessary because I still have my PS4 at my parents' house. I can play everything I need to play on the PS4. Do you know what I mean? Is there much I need? Am I missing? I mean, the quality of life,
Death performance. Stranding.
You're right. You're right, George. Death Stranding. But there are other games I can complete in the backlog that won't affect because there's no PS5 exclusive. What is it that's exclusive? I can just play it on the PS4. So
you go back and play Metal Gear Rising. You haven't done that yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. But that's only on PS3, George. Remember?
You've got that at home.
So I'm planning to play a few games. So we'll see what happens.
What are you planning to play?
I want to play some small ones to knock them out. So games like Catherine, Full Body, and I think...
Isn't Catherine a long one?
It's a long game. What are you talking about?
Isn't that like 30 hours?
It's like 50 hours.
No. It's not 50 hours.
Okay.
I was under the impression that it was a short game. It's like 12 hours, 12, 20 hours.
Okay. No, you're right. Yeah, it's about 12 hours.
I think we've got our platinum mindset on there, Dan.
Yeah, platinum's 50 hours.
Yeah, I'm not a platinum.
Yeah, you don't care. Yeah.
And then, so maybe like Titanfall 2 campaign, Killzone campaign, like just some shooter campaigns to knock out because I really want to. So we'll see what happens.
You never played Killzone?
No. No. Nice. I've played as Radek for a lot of hours, but that was on All-Stars.
So. Far out. Okay. Beautiful.
Ripper.
All right. We'll just knock out a couple of these Call of Duty ones as we were just talking about it. Apparently there's an Attack on Titan crossover coming to Vanguard. Some data miners came in and they recently figured out that John McClane and Rambo were coming. So this looks to be pretty much set in stone that, what's the crossover? What is it?
So I'm not sure if this is going to be on Warzone. I think it will be.
Yeah.
But it said there's several strings of code in the game that refer to quote AOT_Titan. So the Attack on Titan as an operator. So I don't know if you're going to be like Eren or not. And then also it says there's a weapon attachment that is also referenced. And I think it's called Sword Titan. So I have no idea what this is and why Attack on Titan is getting referenced in Call of Duty. But we'll see what happens there.
And then going to the Modern Warfare 2, there's more leaks as well on that. General Shepard will be returning.
He was already mentioned in the
He was Modern already Warfare. Mentioned. Yeah. So you could have worked that out.
So
Task Force 141 were mentioned. So we know they're going to be there. Well, what's the...
Yeah, so, just to reiterate, so last week we talked about how there's going to be a morality system and all this sort of stuff, and this week there's been more leaks and spoilers for the Modern Warfare campaign, which I strongly advise anyone to play because it's really good, but at the end they mentioned Task Force 141 and they talk about Ghost Soap and those guys, and Gaz, obviously. But now they mentioned one person who wasn't mentioned in the credit scene, Roach. So he was obviously the main protagonist of Modern Warfare 2. So it looks like he apparently will also make a mention. And they said that the Task Force 141, the whole game will primarily be based around Task Force 141. And they will be against the Colombian drug cartel, I believe it is. I'm not sure if it's Colombian, but it's the drug cartel. And
it's going to be sick.
Yeah,
it's going to be sick.
Man. They're saying they're really concentrating on gore and the morality system and the enemy AI is getting overhauled. It'll track player skill levels and adjust accordingly to counter like smurfs and stuff, smurf players.
And there's returning maps for Valor Terminal, High Rise Shipment. So all That's sorts of cool. stuff coming in. You can look up those leaks online, guys, if you want to know all the details.
Oh, except for Shipment. Stop bringing back Shipment.
No, bring back Shipment.
Shipment's in Vanguard as well.
I'll tell you why Dan and I love Shipment, because it's the easiest way to level up that battle pass. You just get 40, 30, 40.
It's easy to get all the challenges done. It's the easiest way.
Just RPG rocket fire for days.
Metal Gear Solid titles are temporarily being pulled from stores.
Yeah. Oh, such an interesting story.
I thought it was permanently.
No, it's only temporarily.
Why temporarily?
Quick one. It's they're working on renewing the license for selected historical footage used in the game. So this is only for MGS 2 and 3, but if anyone has played the MGS games, they tend to like use like historical footage. So
could you not get rid of it and be alright?
But
right?
It's part of like the exposition and the cutscene. So like, for instance, in MGS 1, they talk about like the nuclear arms race in the Cold War, and it shows like historical footage of actual missiles being launched and stuff like that. So I'm assuming it's that sort of footage.
That's interesting that they have to pay for that for so long.
I know. It's quite funny, isn't it? Because MGS 2 is a very, very old game. So
Yeah.
So like, it's so weird to think that Konami's known for years like eventually this license would run out. Like when the game was made, and they're like, "Oh crap, guys! It's 2021. We didn't renew that license. Damn it!"
I wonder if it's like stock foot, like you know, how, like you can have stock footage and stuff of just like people walking or like.
Yeah.
I just at the end of Metal Gear, like Metal Gear Solid 2 is a lot about AI taking over and controlling the media and the information and stuff, and they would show a lot of like stock footage of just people walking by and showing like New York and people on phones. I'm like, it's so funny that they have to like renew that stuff. You don't think about that sort of stuff in game dev, do you?
Yeah. And the best news out of this is that it's only down temporarily. So Konami is looking to renew that license. And they said that, you know, it's not forever. It will be coming back. We just need to get the license sorted first.
Yeah. I mean, we know that MGS is rumored to be, we thought it was by Konami, but we know, I think it's by Virtuos, which is a Singaporean studio from memory.
Yeah.
So, man, we'll see what happens with on that end as well.
I really would love to play these games. I don't want to play them enough that I'm willing to like sit through the, you know, the janky as PS like one and two versions. I really would like to play like some crisper remakes. So yeah. I hope that if this first one is really happening and it turns out to do well, that they do move forward. Cause I'd love to, you know, play even the newer releases, but I want to have the context of what's happened beforehand before I play like 4 or 5.
I sedated Dan. And tied him to a chair.
Oh, we had a great time, didn't we, boy?
Forced him to play Metal Gear Solid 1. We had a great time, but it was it's so janky, like square to shoot and things like no analog sticks.
Yeah, it was a bit of a learning curve.
Yeah, but Jordan, funnily enough, God of War 2018, Jordan came over to my place. This is years ago, and he sat through with me the entire of God of War 1 and 2 and 3. I think there were sections where I played by myself, but.
Yeah, especially 3 because it got close to it coming out and you were close to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could do that for you for Metal Gear, Jorts.
You could do.
Because I kind of want to play it again or like experience it again. Yeah. So, but we just know that there's going to be 5 hours of us just sitting there watching a cutscene. So it's like, oh, yeah.
Next story, Vike.
Yeah. So, interesting article. It's from gamesindustry.biz, and it's basically about how gaming investment, merger and acquisition activity are continuing to grow quite quickly. Mm. You know, we've seen this. We've talked about Sony and the multitude of acquisitions they've made. We've seen Blue Point. We've seen Housemarque. We've seen them recently have a 5% stake, I think, in Devolver. We know their investment in Epic Games. We know... their, you know, acquisition of a few other studios, Nixxes, and what was a recent one? I forgot what the recent one was. Their name escapes me.
Blue Point?
No, not Blue Point. They did one after that.
Firepoint?
Yeah, Firespray. Firespray?
Firespray.
So, and, you know, Xbox obviously buying ZeniMax and all the subsidiaries of that. And a lot of these, yeah. So it's just a lot of interesting, I guess, tidbits about the gaming industry. And I think it is becoming quite investment heavy. We saw that the DDM, I think they're like a digital games media, like statistics company. So they found that 150 investment deals worth more than $9 billion. This was in the third quarter of this year. So year to date, the games industry investments are more than 2.5 times higher than they were compared to this point last year. So 2.5 times higher. And we saw 85, the third quarter, we saw 85 deals, $6.4 billion in total disclosed amounts of worth of mergers and acquisitions. But the main two, we saw EA pick up Playdemic, who are the golf clash guys, for $1.4 billion. So it's just interesting. Like Embracer Group as well, who have over 70 studios under their belt. 70 studios, you know, including THQ Nordic, Gearbox, and Volition, and it's crazy.
This factor into that stat I saw as well, that was it 2K Games has like 55 projects in the works?
I think this might be Embracer Group. They have like 70 or so, a crazy amount of projects.
I saw a headline that it was 2K, but it's probably that the Embracer Group that owns them has that many.
Oh, well, Take-Two own 2K. Maybe it was Take-Two. Yeah.
Maybe Take-Two, yeah.
But Embracer also have like 70. Imagine trying to balance 70 studios making games.
We've got some stellar years to come, I'll tell you
what. We do. So obviously the big one being Microsoft's $7.5 billion acquisition of Bethesda. So that was in the previous quarter. So it's just, you know, it's just, and I think we've seen this trend, and compared to maybe last year, this time we're seeing Sony buy up and all these studios, Microsoft going hard in investing in games as a service and all these studios, first party titles. When's it going to stop? How far is this going to go? You know, what is going to be the impact of this, and what are Sony and Microsoft's next move? I'm really excited to see. So, and this is, by the way, the entire gaming industry. So you've got Nintendo, you've got all esports, tech, mobile, AR and VR. We just saw, I think, Niantic, the Pokemon Go guys. I think they bought an AR studio, or they were doing some investment in there. So there's a lot of things happening in the gaming space, especially esports.
It's exciting. It's exciting to see all this investment.
Hmm.
Hopefully it pays off with some incredible stuff to come. Going off Jeff Keighley's latest tweet, he says, "There's so much to tell you. This industry is about to kick into overdrive." As his Game Awards is on, everybody.
I know you guys make fun of him a little bit, but I was just like, video game awards. I love the hype around it.
I love the Game Awards.
I love it. I watch it
every year.
Yeah.
Seriously. Yeah. I really enjoy it.
I just love the hype master Jeff Keighley, and I love him. Like he's the only one keeping the hype events alive, in my opinion, because like E3's dead.
Yeah.
So he's the only one just around there.
No,
keeping,
it's not dead, but anyway.
Sorry. It's dead. So he's the only one sort of keeping it alive, which I really like.
And he's like legitimizing like an award ceremony for video games. Like this really is like
an Oscar style.
Yeah, it's legit the Oscars for the games. Like a lot of time when people talk about, you know, what was Game of the Year, they're like, you know, at the Video Game Awards, you know, this is what got Game of the Year. It's almost I wouldn't say it's the definitive one yet. Like, it's not like the definitive Game of the Year award or anything like that yet, but it's getting there. It's getting to the point where...
this is the thing, right? It's like, there's so many, like Spike and like IGN and like...
Yeah.
And then there's all these Game of the Year editions for games that never won, like might have won Game of the Year from like there one guy.
I can't think of what... There's a few games like that where they had Game of the Year editions. I'm like, are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm like, when did you win Game of the Year?
I think it was not Rage. What was the game that was like Rage? Bulletstorm. I think Bulletstorm had a Game of the Year edition. I'm like, come on.
It would probably just want like some category, right?
Yeah. But it's like we all agree like God of War was that year. You know, Last of Us was that 2013.
Yeah.
You know,
what was it? The year that
people collectively Fallen Order came
out. Yeah, the year that Fallen Order came out, there wasn't really a definitive winner.
2019.
Yeah.
That was Sekiro, wasn't it?
Yes. And that sort of came out of left field because no one thought that a game from From Software would win it.
No.
I don't think it has before. Like even Bloodborne. Bloodborne's more like looked at favorably since it's come out. Like it wasn't really appreciated at its time. And since then, it's got this really cult following that's followed it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is, we're trying to get to the Oscars level, or that's where Jeff is getting to.
Yeah.
But like the video games industry is making more than the movie industry and the music industry and the sports industry, I think, combined. So it's just crazy
But the Game Awards does more viewers than the Oscars by a mile as well.
I reckon in 10 years' time, within the next 10 years, I reckon the Game Awards could be on TV, like American TV.
That would be cool. But what they need to do is they need to centralize all these Game of the Year editions crap. Like every studio.
I don't think he wants it to go to TV. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's doing really well streaming it. It's got a lot of partners.
I wonder if some cable network came to him though and was like, you know, we'll pay you this much and you can keep all your partners and stuff.
Because he would have got paid a boatload by the Fast and the Furious Crossroads. Remember that year where Vin Diesel that came out?
Yeah.
That was all paid for, I reckon.
Cringiest moment. Promotion.
It could be. Could be.
Yeah. Or maybe Mike, it was
give it a rest, mate. It's all about the family.
Maybe it was a maybe it was one of those deals where we'll give you Vin Diesel. You give us a promotion. Yeah, on that
you give
game.
Us a good rub on this game.
Yeah. Could have been.
We're the gamers. We're with our family, the gamers.
Is that Michelle Rodriguez?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. Dan, add that to the list.
A list of impressions. Hold on. Where is that list?
Why Michelle Rodriguez?
We've got a list of impressions going now, Mike, by the way.
This is so funny.
You listen to that episode, Mike, where we started the list.
Michelle Rodriguez.
I said, well, you did a really good one.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, Taika Waititi. Yeah. That was good. But it's just so funny that
we've got that in here.
It's just they don't realize that people can see straight through this like publicity celebrity crap, that it's like such empty lies that they say they're huge gamers. You know, we see straight through that, but people never, you know, they think that we'll just gobble it all up.
Yeah, they've started to stray away from that. Like I think last year he had like Nolan North, Troy Baker, those type of people on. Oh, you did have Christopher Nolan, but again, that was a tie-in. We'll give you Nolan, you promote his new movie.
God, when you said Nolan, I was like, oh, Christopher Walken. I don't remember him being there.
No, I remember Nolan. He's like all these games, all these Game of the Years had incredible narratives, and one of them was Animal Crossing. That was the meat.
Probably did the best out of all those other games. So.
Last of Us 2 got the Game of the Year last year, but I reckon Jordan Hades got a few as well.
Hades did. I think at the time, I reckon I looked down on Hades a little bit. I reckon I was like, how's it getting all these awards? And now that I've played it, I'm like,
yeah. Ooh. Now you see the.
It's not on the same level as The Last of Us, though, because. The one thing I will give it is that it's like I am like 65 attempts into Hades, escape attempts in, which is a lot of playing time. I haven't looked at exactly how much time I've spent. Mm. But like there is still new dialogue options and I'd be easily 60, 70 hours in. There's still dialogue I haven't seen with characters that you speak to in every run.
Mm.
And like there's still quests and like stuff that I haven't done. It's an incredible game.
Fike, what would you give 2010 to? Would you give it to Mass Effect 2 or would you give it to Red Dead Redemption, Game of the Year?
I haven't played RDR, unfortunately.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
None of us have played both, unfortunately, but I can only speak for Mass Effect 2 when it's one of the greatest games. It's pinnacle.
Sony loses Vita trademark.
Yeah, this is... interesting. This is a bit of legal jargon. I'm reading straight off the Kluwer trademark blog, which is where this was sourced. And I think it's like a legal website sort of with trademarks. So basically on September 1st, 2021, Sony's Vita trademark for the PS Vita lost out in genuine use revocation proceedings in the EU General Court. So basically, the trademark Vita has been registered by Sony for a variety of items, and these are the two ones that it includes: data carriers containing programs and audio and image carriers that is not of paper. Now, there's another company called Vita Audio. It's like spelled V-I-E-T-A. I think Vita. And they applied in 2011 to have the registration revoked for non-use, basically for those two items specifically. So Sony provided evidence of the trademark's use, notably in relation to PS Vita, saying, you know, hey, our customers, they use this as data carrier containing programs and image carriers. You can play music and all that sort of stuff. But the proof was rejected by the board, basically saying, hey, these things are secondary to the Vita. The Vita is primarily there to play video games. And this, you know, these sort of secondary functions that you've applied for this trademark, they are not there. I'm no legal guy, so I've probably butchered everything I've just said. But basically, they've lost the rights to that part of the trademark. Those two class 9 items, they've lost the rights to that because the courts have determined that Vita is not used for that anymore. It's not the primary function and it hasn't been touched in a long time. So it's been revoked and now it is up for grabs and most likely by this other studio. So it just shows that, I guess, that, you know, Sony's just slowly abandoning the Vita in a way. And it's kind of sad, isn't it? Because I always thought that with the Switch absolutely annihilating the competition, well, not the competition, just annihilating, it's killing, it's doing so well, the Vita, and it's the only one in the handheld market. Like, why hasn't Sony just come in with the Vita or a new PlayStation Portable? They can get their first party studios. They have some like lower end indie studios they can work on. I don't know, but yeah, it's just I guess.
I'd love to know what happened between the Portable and the Vita, because the Portable was a success. Like that was a raging success. So what happened? What was so different about the Vita? The first thing that jumps out, the name stunk. Like, why would you not call it like the PSP 2 or like anything but that?
I think it was, there was a few things. So like,
no wonder they're letting the name go.
There was, the funniest thing, if you guys have seen House of Cards, where Kevin Spacey blatantly advertises, is that a PS Vita?
Oh my God, I remember that, man. That was, I love so the out PS Vita. Place.
I know, it's so funny.
That was weird.
I think, Jordan, there's a couple of things. You got to remember the mobile market was kicking off just about then when the Vita came out. Vitas are very expensive. You had the stupid memory cards that were like only like you can only buy the Sony specific proprietary discs. You know, and there wasn't much games after the launch. I mean, Vita had an amazing launch, but it didn't really have much else after that. It didn't have
any kids games like Switch.
Yeah.
It wasn't very kid friendly, was it?
Yeah, and I think just Sony just ignored it after a while, and it's just sad.
But they ignored it really quickly. Like, what year did the Vita come out?
I think 20.
That's the thing. Switch stuck to their guns, and eventually it's built up.
And the dumb thing about the Vita was when the PS4 came out, which was 2013, when you'd plug in your Vita, it would say, "Don't recognize this system." Like, are you kidding? Didn't the Vita come out like 2010 or 2011?
Switch didn't come out of the gates selling well either. So,
not right away, but it didn't take long for it to pick up.
Man, the games on the Switch, though, just beautifully support that system so well.
There's no Legend of Zelda on Vita. There's nothing even close.
It's Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified, Dan. Excuse me.
That's the thing. You know, there's all rip-offs. Like, I'll tell you what was
a good one, though. Killzone Mercenary, that was a good game.
Yeah, and I think Uncharted Golden Abyss.
Lost Legacy was on Vita, yeah.
But you know what? Dan, you said an interesting point, like, these are just rip-offs or, like, of already established IP. But I kind of think that's the tactic they have to go for VR. Don't give me Horizon on VR. Dude, give me a new Horizon experience.
I've been playing Oculus Quest. This thing flogs the PSVR.
Mm.
There's no cord.
Yeah. That's not a single
cord, man.
I think it's
so much better. I will never touch the PSVR.
I just think it's such a bad idea for the VR 2 to have a cord. I know it's a single cord.
The way that the cord situation will be saved, the problem with the PSVR cable is that it's actually two cables and they're quite heavy. But you can actually feel it tugging on your head if you turn too quickly or if it's snagged. If the cable's light, it won't matter as much. It'll still suck, but it won't matter as much. It's just the fact that they're two really thick cables and the cable's not even that long. Like, you've got to be 2 meters back from your TV. And at that point, it's almost like stretching that to the point it's off the floor.
When you come in next, I'll show you this. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah.
If you can get behind that, you've got to have a Facebook account. If you can get past that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, which really, come on, guys. It's
enter
not,
the metaverse.
Just make a meta account if you have to. And anyway, you've probably got an Instagram account. Guess who owns that?
Meta. Mm. And WhatsApp. They own WhatsApp also.
And WhatsApp. So you're already supporting them. Next story, guys.
What are we going to go with? Do we want to talk about Avengers quickly?
Yeah, let's go Square Enix and Avengers.
I think quickly we can talk about, okay.
So what did he say? The Square Enix, was it the president or something?
Yeah, Jordan Joyner.
Yeah, I'm just trying to open up the story. My iPad's like playing silly.
Yeah, the company's president.
Sorry. Go.
He said it needs to learn lessons from the much criticized Marvel's Avengers disappointing performance.
Yeah, so the Square Enix president. So it was Yosuke Matsuda believes games as a service will become more important to publisher in the service-oriented industry, but that so far it's been a bit of a disappointed outcome. So they released a long statement and they said that, you know, that the title was ambitious for them, taking on a game of services model.
Yeah, but didn't he say...
And then Crystal... he went on to say that Crystal would just... that he doesn't think Crystal was the best fit for that studio. Come
on. I'll interject here and I'll give you the exact quote because it's quite
please,
sneaky.
Please, I did butcher it a little bit.
Yeah, no, so President... yeah,
yes, yeah, no, he did, it's fine.
No. I didn't mean it like that. Yeah, no, you did.
You're fired.
Yeah, you're fired. let's get Kyle. You're fired. So
no, you're fired. Yes, fired.
I created you, Dan.
You quit.
You can't fire me.
I'm my own boss.
You can fire me. I'm going to disable your YouTube channel.
Really, man? You're going to DDoS me.
I'll disable your channel, Dan. Yeah. I'll turn everyone.
Oh,
I'll
here we go. You. This is here the standard. So, Vike,
this is what
Yosuke
Matsuda said.
He can't even hear us. It's that good. Vike, you've become a robot.
No, can you not hear me?
Nah, quit out and come back.
Jeez.
Anyway,
all right, he's gone. Lock the meeting. Don't let him back in.
What was the actual quote? Do we have it here?
Yeah, Vike just said he had it up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Yeah, okay. So basically what he said was, here's his quote. Marvel's Avengers was an ambitious title for us in that we took on the games as a service model. We overcame a variety of unexpected difficulties in the final phase of the game's development, including needing to transition to work from home due to the pandemic. We were able to surmount these challenges and release the game, but it has unfortunately not proven successful as we have liked. Nonetheless, taking on games as a service model highlighted issues that we are likely to face in future development efforts, such as the need, get this, the need to select game designs that mesh with the unique attributes and tastes of our studios and development teams. While that new challenge that we tackled with this title produced a disappointing outcome, we are certain that games as a service approach will grow in importance as games become more service-oriented. So it just goes on to talk about that, but that sneaky line where he basically says, the unique attributes and tastes of our studio and development teams and has produced a disappointing outcome. It feels like they're just trying to shift the blame onto Crystal Dynamics.
Come on, guys. They were the ones that probably pushed all this shit on them.
But there's another thing. Here's another thing.
It's so wrong.
Well, I get that if you're pushing the blame, that's one thing. But my question is, why would you choose Crystal Dynamics as the studio for this? They did third-person action adventure with single Tomb Raider,
player. It's your single fault. Player. Yeah, exactly.
And you're going all the way to a games as a service online but even multiplayer. Then,
the best part of brawler. Avengers was the what?
Story.
The
there story, you go.
The part that they're good at.
Yeah, and it's
and
just,
all the other shit they probably Square Enix wanted.
So stupid of Square Enix. What a stupid move for them to make Crystal do this. And what's funny now, Crystal Dynamics are being loaned out to the Initiative on the Microsoft side to help with their Perfect Dark series. My theory is that they're obviously trying to recoup some costs from the loss of Avengers. Because what was it? They lost like 50 million. I won't quote an amount.
Some of that,
yeah. So they need to recoup that cost. And that also, I'm a bit worried about the Initiative because they were flagged to be their quadruple A studio. But
didn't
that's another
they do
thing.
Guardians?
Crystal? That was Square. That wasn't Crystal.
Oh, okay. So who did Guardians?
No, I thought Crystal did Guardians.
Who developed it? It was Crystal. Look at the vigorous typing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Crystal.
Guys, I know my shit.
Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure you're right, Dan. No. Eidos.
I told you guys it wasn't Crystal.
What?
How could they work on Avengers? Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
They're owned by Square, man.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Square Enix own Eidos. They own...
Yeah, Eidos did Avengers.
No, Crystal did Avengers.
They worked on Avengers. They did work
they
on
worked on it.
Okay, they might have worked on it, but
anyways. Yeah, and Eidos also worked on Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So I was close. Anyway, moving on.
It's and we also saw that there was another article on gamesindustry.biz about just the sales with Square Enix and how they've sort of dipped because the games that have come out this year for Square, which I think are quite significant compared to, or this half of the year compared to, I think, Final Fantasy VII Remake, It kind of didn't sort of, I guess, live up to expectations. They expected more money this year, but yeah, their Final Fantasy, yeah, just suffered in comparison to the Final Fantasy remake launch, basically. So
they're not doing as well as they should be, Square Enix.
Yeah, so if you see their public, look, these are the key releases they made for that the first half of the year: Outriders, Nier Replicant, Neo: The World Ends With You, Life is Strange, True Colors. And that all didn't beat the sales they saw in Final Fantasy VII Remake and Avengers, which was 2020. Okay. So they're just saying that obviously those sales have dipped slightly.
Those are two heavy hitters, though.
They are heavy hitters.
Even though Avengers isn't a great game, it's still got the Avengers name. So people would have bought it regardless of whether it was a good game or not because they wanted to experience the story. So
now, do you think Forspoken will do good numbers next year?
Oh, yeah.
New IP.
Yeah, I think they need to make that protagonist. They need to give us more of the protagonist.
There needs to be a good marketing job on that game.
Yeah, because in my head, I don't even know what she looks like.
Gary Widder, Amy Hennig, Todd Stashwick, the composers, Bear McCreary from God of War.
It might be a critical darling, but whether it sells is the problem.
It's got the right people involved. Good actors too involved.
Is it Janina Gavankar? She's the lady in it, yeah.
And talking about her,
there's a few. If you look at the cast,
Jonathan Cake, Keila Settle, and Monica.
That's a
Barbara.
Game that needs. That's a game that should continue to be seen in a state of play, and then that'll give it the exposure that it needs.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe it might get delayed because I haven't seen much. Yeah, it's supposed to come out next year. Like we've seen a lot of Horizon, God of War. I don't feel like we've seen the same amount for that game.
Personally. Do you know? This is a bit of a sidebar, but do you know what news I'm excited about in terms of writers? Like when I heard Amy Hennig was part of Forspoken, I was excited. Walt Williams, who wrote Spec Ops: The Line, he's the story lead behind the Wolverine game, Insomniac's Wolverine game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they said that the Wolverine game is going to be darker. It's going to deal with darker elements, and who better to get than the Spec Ops lead writer?
What did he do between now and then?
What I don't know, but it's Spec Ops, man.
Is there going to be white phosphorus?
What's his name like? Walt.
Walt Widder. Walt Williams.
Walt Williams.
Walt.
And just while we're there, we'll quickly touch on the other bit of important Avengers news that I'd like to think I spoke into motion last week. Spider-Man is finally coming.
I listened to that episode and Jordan's like, "Well, was I on that episode? I don't remember." But like Jordan was basically like, "Spider-Man came, but they still didn't get." There was like two things he contrasted.
Yeah, Spider-Man came. And so they said at launch, they said two things. Spider-Man will come.
Microtransactions won't.
pay-to-win microtransactions won't. The thing you said would not come came before the thing you said would come.
And then the next day, almost as if they listened to Jordan, said, "We're taking in microtransactions. Spider-Man's coming." So
he'll be coming. They give a date. So 30th of November, that is...
pretty soon.
21 days away from recording. That's epic. Thank goodness he's finally there. That's
because it's in time for the movie.
If he gets his own story, you know, missions.
I believe he will.
Then that game will get a good spike in numbers. I can guarantee you that. Those who want to also play Battle for Wakanda as well, and I think it's pretty good for them. And the Hawkeye, like, you know what? I'm kind of tempted.
Come off it. Don't say another word, man.
No, I'm not. But it'd be cool to play. All the content, mate. The content.
You know what the best bit is about this? Like, Avengers isn't for me. Like, even this isn't enough to make me go and play it. But good on them for sticking to their guns. This is still coming out. They're still supporting it. There's obviously still a community there for them to be still doing this.
There's a community of 10 people. Now, Walter White, the writer, is that his name?
Walter Williams. I am the one who writes.
See, mate.
Wrote Mafia 2.
Okay.
Additional writing. The Darkness 2, Spec Ops: The Line, Battlefront 2.
Which one? Original?
No.
New one? A trash story.
Yeah, and he did Squadron.
Wait, was Battlefront 2 the one with Janina Gavankar in the campaign? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
They must
that
be
was...
friends. Oh, no, he's doing Wolverine, sorry.
Dude, that was... That story in Battlefront 2 was the worst... Terrible. terrible story. It was cool.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's a bit concerning, isn't it?
I think it annoyed everyone because it was hyped to be Janina Gavanko as this Imperial pilot. We're going to get this dark, gritty Imperial story. She ends up turning good and joining the rebels and the Republic. I'm like, so lame. So lame.
Yeah, but you could see it coming.
Yeah, it was for kids and stuff. You know, you have to be the good guys and how they have to win. There was a really cool mission where Luke Skywalker encounters an Imperial commander and he like turns that was cool. to the light side. That was really
but
cool.
You got
to
think, how much did he write that and how much was he told what to do?
Yeah. But his magnum opus right now is Spec Ops. Phenomenal story. One of the best single player campaign stories out there.
He's put down as narrative designer.
Yeah, he designed the narrative.
Well, what's the difference between a narrative designer and a writer?
I'd say a writer would be in charge of like doing some of the script and stuff like that. If you're a narrative designer, I'd say you're setting out like the scope of the story and, you know,
you're like
the story beats.
Yeah. This is the story. This is what I want. You guys write it sort of thing.
And the writer would probably be bringing that to life, that vision.
Yeah. Bring that to life. It's not like you guys write it. Like he'll say, this is what I want them to say, but then they've got to.
Yeah.
Now, Elden Ring, we got a behind closed doors look.
It was exciting.
Of some gameplay of Elden Ring, and then it came out to the public anyway.
But like the day after.
One thing we were impressed about was that it looked like it was more cinematic in terms of cutscenes, which is one thing I really wanted. More story instead of just lore tidbits.
Mm.
More in-your-face story stuff. So that's one thing that looks to be coming in.
Yeah.
The world looks crazy.
One of the things that stood out to me from that behind the, you know, and whatever came out to the public as well, was that they talked about how the tandem and the partnership with Miyazaki and George R. R. Martin worked, where Miyazaki designed the world and the monsters and that sort of thing. Uh-huh. And then George R.R. Martin was in charge of creating the story and lore behind them. And then that was sort of how they worked it, which I think is fantastic.
That's great. I love that.
I think it's fantastic. I'm really, really excited to see what this is going to be like, especially because it does seem to be a little bit more, there's those cutscenes. It might be a little bit more story-based in that you are, like there's a logical start point and a logical end point, and there might be a bit more of a, like a linear way to go through the games, because the Soulsborne and Sekiro games are quite, like, as much as they seem open world, and this one is much more open world than the rest of them, like they're actually not that open world. They're actually quite linear in terms of you go down one path and you move forward through that path, and then you usually will loop around. There'll be a shortcut that means if you come back to that area later, you don't need to go all the way through. And that's the way it works. Yeah. Yes, you can move within those areas, but they actually are quite linear in terms of the way that you traverse them. And it seems like they're sort of trying to break the mold a little
almost
bit there.
Almost like God of War 2018.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Almost exactly like that, except a little bit more complex and obviously.
Now, how can we convince Vike to play this?
Can I be honest? If that trailer didn't, I'm like, what else do we
can
need?
Can we convince you to play this, Vike? Is there a world?
Ring.
Yeah, is there a world?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm keen.
Cool.
If it's more cinematic, that actually will, yeah. I'm really keen to try
you
Bloodborne.
You could get behind this gameplay loop.
I'm actually keen to try a Bloodborne. So when the PS5 edition inevitably comes, I will think I'll pick it up.
For sure.
And it also have ray tracing performance quality modes on console.
But I think they said that might come in a patch. So
yeah, in a patch, yeah. But one thing I'll say is that you can just tell this world will transport you and will be an experience. Like you'll be in this world for that time you're playing the game. Like you won't be thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
It feels like one of those games that just grips you in.
Mm. The other thing that really stood out to me as well from this is that it very much is a From Software game in terms of
it is exactly what you would expect.
It is like the exact same text. It is the exact same menus. It is the exact same.
Yeah.
They've got like the little, you know, like little D-pad down in the corner, and it's not an Estus flask. It's called like, what's it called?
Just change the name. It does the same thing.
Yeah. It's not bonfires and lanterns now. It's, something of grace?
Yep.
Something like that. So. Yeah, but no, I'm stoked for this. I hope it doesn't get delayed again.
Didn't look like it would.
No. And it was pretty promising that they delayed it only because they needed like that one, it was only by a month that they needed just a little bit more time.
I don't think it'll be delayed because, as we said, it looks very similar to the other games. So the elements are already there for them. Hackers are close to jailbreaking the PS5 Vive. That's hilarious to me. Because I don't, like, back in the day, obviously, we all had
iPhone dodgy.
Well, yeah, we had dodgy PS2 games and stuff. I don't know. I did. Like, do you from know Barbie.
The Caribbean market. The best moment, like the best piracy I've done. Not that I should be.
Be careful. I pirated all the Marvel movies.
No. It was my Xbox 360. It might have been the original Xbox. I think it was the original Xbox, actually. So
yeah, it would have been the original
Xbox. Yeah, we were able to go to the Caribbean market and get it chipped. And what that meant was I could basically, if there was a game disc, I could store that game on the hard drive of the console, and then I won't need the disc to play it. I can just play it off the console. So what I would used to do is go to Blockbuster, do an overnight rental, and rent a really good game, and then just for like $5, and then just save it on the console, and I can play it to my heart's content.
Wow, so, you're dodgy.
Ah, man, dodgy. Those were the days. Those were the days.
Yeah. My mum used to work at Blockbuster, so I could just...
I think I got it from your mum's Blockbuster.
I just used to get them, you know?
Yeah.
And just go through these games every weekend. So they're one step closer to jailbreaking the PS5, but, yeah, I know people jailbreak the PS3. That's a common thing. Not sure on the 4. What the go is there, but
well, so this group that hacked or is claiming to be close to jailbreaking the PS5, these are the guys who actually hacked the PS3. So they were the ones who successfully broke through the PS3, I believe. So they've
on the PS5. Like, it's not even out a year. Shit.
So basically, the group apparently have been able to obtain the PS5 root keys. Now, I'm not too sure what the implications of that is, but basically...
Did you read out every number?
The number is Mason. It's all in hexadecimal, but the... I'm
very familiar with that.
This is a big step towards hackers being able to decrypt access to the PS5 firmware and begin efforts to run custom code and firmware, or in other words, jailbreak the PS5. This is quoted from PlayStation Lifestyle. This doesn't mean that the PS5 is entirely compromised just yet, but the root keys will allow them to explore the PS5's firmware for vulnerabilities. Someone on Twitter just said, hey, you can just rotate the root keys, or Sony can just do that as a way to fight back. And then they just said no. They just replied with no, which I think implies that they sort of have a way around that. But... what will the implications of a jailbroken PlayStation 5 mean? I don't know. So we'll see.
Beautiful. Take-Two cancelled an unannounced game that cost $53 million. Do we know what this game is, guys? Do we have a clue?
Yeah. So
all revealed.
Yeah. So basically, this is Hangar 13. So these are the Mafia 3 guys. So they were.
I thought they hadn't done much in a while.
Mm. Yeah. So they were reportedly developing a game under the codename Vault, and I think it was short for Voltron, but it's nothing to do with Voltron. It kind of does. So apparently they had to cancel the game project due to various technical difficulties. So I'm getting this also from PlayStation Lifestyle, and difficulty in its development and the pandemic and all that. Basically, it was a superhero game. Apparently, it was going to be involving superheroes and online gameplay. Sources speaking to Kotaku described the game as like an arcadey three-player co-op game that featured classic RPG roles like tanks, healers, and DPS. And don't know why it was called Voltron and what the connection is, but basically they canned it. $53 million was sunk into this project. And now the staff at Hangar 13 are quite worried because they're a bit worried about their jobs now that the game's been taken. What do they do? But I think Take-Two or the head the head of Hangar 13 Studios, Hayden Blackman. He said basically in an email that we're confident that there are, this is what he quoted, we are confident that there are many opportunities for Hangar 13 employees to work on other games in development, both at Hangar 13 and across the label. 2K have also assured me that the company believes Hangar 13 can deliver a critical and commercial success and will begin developing future projects soon. So $53 million is a huge sunk cost. Now, for Take Two, that's just a 5 minutes in GTA money. But no, it's a lot of money. So it's a big, big thing to can a project after being that deep in development. And
geez, it must have not looked good.
My question is, does this mean I have a bad inkling that, you know, this could result in a studio closure or something like that? Because we know Mafia 3, whilst it sort of had a good following and a good story,
I liked it,
it didn't do commercially or critically well. The Metacritic for Mafia, I think, is in the 70s or 60s.
Yeah, I think it might be in the 60s.
Yeah, so
I liked it.
I know. Yeah, the campaign apparently was pretty good. So it's a bit worrying for this, guys, especially when Take Two are just swimming in money from 2K, from Rockstar and all this sort of stuff. You're sort of competing against those guys, and it's like, why do we need this middle-level studio when we've got the big guns like 2K and GTA making all the money? Like, I'm a bit worried, but we'll see. I hope that they can go on to something else and develop more games, but we'll have to wait and see.
68% on Metacritic on PlayStation 4, Mafia.
Yeah. 3. So,
and then last story, Marvel's Midnight Suns delayed until late 2022.
Yes. So basically, they released a statement on Twitter. This is the Midnight Suns Twitter account, and basically saying that they're delaying the game. It's a dream.
They just revealed it. It's just crazy to me.
That's what's funny. Like, this is what I mean. I don't believe in game release dates anymore.
They just released it. How could you not know?
This is what I'm saying.
It doesn't make sense.
If whenever someone puts a release date now, like any game, if it says it's coming out June 16th, 2021, I'll say
you put 6 months to a year on it.
Yeah, I'll say, okay, it's coming out in December. It's coming out in 2022 then. Because, and what they said basically, the last sentence pretty much sums it up. These extra months will be used to add more stories, cinematics, and overall polish, which will be essential in helping us make our vision a reality. So
if Wolverine's 2020, if Spider-Man's 2023, do you think that'll come? Venom?
Yeah, that's a while out. I reckon it still could face a small delay, but I think it'll still come.
This is the thing. We are on the cusp of COVID or going back to a normal. People are not really, like, working from home is, it's not a thing of the past, but, you know, lockdowns
with it better as well.
Yeah, and the vaccine and lockdowns are becoming a thing of the past, and that separation. So I think you're going to get less and less delays or less impact from COVID. Also, people have adapted to it. So I feel like in the 2022, 2023, you're going to get less impact.
Yeah.
And less delays. So we'll
see. I reckon the only thing that'll end up delaying games the next 2 years will be the release of other games.
Yeah. Because of the crowdedness. Crowded windows. Yeah.
This looks great though. I'm like, you know, initially
you're going to play it.
Yeah, the first reaction when a game's delayed is, oh, I've got to wait to play that even longer now. But a game is never worse if it's delayed. It's always better.
Yeah, I mean, I think Midnight Suns is a niche game, obviously being a card based game. Yeah. But
it's not card based. It's like
it's sort of like an XCOM, but I think it has card elements in it.
Okay.
Why haven't they made? I mean, it's too late now. It's actually too late if you think about it. You can't make a single player Marvel Avengers game. It's too late. You can't do it. They've already done. Crystal have already sunk it with the Avengers MMO, and now there's no room for a single player game to come. So it kind of sucks that IP is wasted forever now. Because in 10 years, a Marvel IP is probably not going to be as valuable. I'm assuming Marvel movies and stuff won't be as popular in about 10 years' time. But
we'll, I want them to make an Iron Man game, Insomniac.
Yeah.
I want Sucker Punch to do that. Can you imagine, like, the guys that did Infamous? That's Iron Man. Think about
I actually wish Sucker Punch didn't do Ghost of Tsushima 2 next. I wish they'd go back to Infamous.
Yeah.
Everyone wants Infamous, man.
Yeah, there's potential there, man, for something. Imagine incredible.
Delson and Cole combining forces. I think Cole's dead in the universe.
I think you make a new character.
Again. I liked Cole.
I liked Cole too, but
I liked Cole.
Could you Delson get that voice actor? Is he even a voice actor?
Tell you what, I tell you what you do.
Get a
you
new actor.
Get yeah. Cole to come back somehow, and then you make Delson the villain.
Oh, you heard it here first.
Yep.
So our favorite segment. Jordan, you want to play the tune?
I'm going to play the tune. Hand, yeah, I'll just hit play on the recording
side. Yep. Hit play, DJ.
What's your favorite? Tell me what's your favorite.
Ooh. What's your favorite? Okay, and what is our favorite remake? Let's start favorite with you, remake. Jordan.
I've been having to think. I'm trying to think of what my favorite remake is. And I think it's going to come down to, I think it has to be the Crash games. Like just the trilogy in general. In all fairness, the only game I played from the remake, from the trilogy, sorry, was Warped. That was the only one I originally played.
Warped is
that whole package was phenomenal. I think it's one of the best remakes ever. It's definitely my favorite remake.
Yeah.
Followed closely second by the Spyro trilogy remake, which was just as fun and much less infuriating.
Love it. Voice crack. Micah.
Dan, you go because I'm still thinking.
He's got no idea. Sorry. Mine is easily Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a lot of people's favorite, I reckon.
Yeah. Resident Evil 2. I will give an honorable mention to Tony Hawk's 1 and 2 last year. Yeah. Really enjoyed that. Like really, really enjoyed that. But it's got to be Resident Evil 2. I mean, that's one of the best remakes, if not the best of all time.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I'd actually say, yeah, it's probably better than
objectively. Yeah. I mean, you could I think
it's probably the best if you consider that, you know, they got rid of the tank controls and stuff and actually remade it. So it's third person.
Yeah, exactly. It was a remake.
Yeah.
And I think it was better.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would say it is because did they change some small things with the story?
A few little things. Just, they stuck to it pretty well. Yeah. They really changed. 3 was a bit disappointing because they changed a lot from 3. It was a bit more dumbed down.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 3 remake, but 2 was just phenomenal. Vicar, have you figured one out yet? Do you want me to now? Want me to?
Yeah, I have actually. Some,
or are you right?
No, give me some.
Mafia, Tony Hawk, Crash, Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Kingdoms of Amla, Resident Evil 2, 3,
Never Final has it been Fantasy. A good Kingdom of Amla.
Legend of Zelda, Link's Awakening, Pokemon.
The Pokemon remakes are excellent.
Metal Gear Solid, Twin Snakes.
Disgusting. Maybe it's like I don't know.
What about Ratchet and Clank vibe?
Yeah, okay, that's up there, definitely up there. But I've got one aside from that. But I want to talk about Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes just quickly. All right, as Dan,
we're
going
to go to sleep quickly.
I think people liked it. I did not like it at all. I hate that they redid the cutscenes. I hate that they redid the dialogue. I hate that they redid the voice acting. Even though it was the same actors.
You hate when they change anything.
Dude, the emphasis of the voices and the voice acting was just over the top. The cutscenes, they changed it. Like, instead of like realistic cutscenes, Snake's like backflipping off missiles and stuff. It was just trying to be too... Anyway, didn't like that one. Although, the gameplay... Metal Gear Solid 2 gameplay for Metal Gear Solid 1, perfect. But, it did sort of make things a bit too easy because, as Dan knows, like if you think about like the Ocelot mission where you're running around, if you have a third person over the camera or first person aiming, it makes that boss fight completely different and not fun at all. Loses the magic of it. Anyway, so Ratchet was really good. I really, really enjoyed that. Great one. And, phenomenal. But my one, so if there was a PlayStation remake, if this is a favorite sort of PlayStation remake, I would choose Ratchet. But since Jordan, I guess, didn't specify a platform.
I did not.
I would say Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition.
I knew it was going to be Age of Empires. Before you even said it, I was going to say it, but I'm like, I don't want to spoil it. Just, and I don't want to look like a peanut if it's not that.
They basically redid all the mechanics, every animation, the graphics are so good and crisp. All these quality of life, insane quality of life improvements. The UI is phenomenal. It basically just made the game so, so, so much better. And yeah, phenomenal game. Phenomenal.
Beautiful. And finally, we just do a quick prediction here. We spoke about Elden Ring. So why don't we just give our prediction on the Metacritic score for Elden
Ring? I'll go first. I'm going to go 93.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I'm going to go 88.
Whoa. Now, do I go 94 or 87? Now, I will look, they've done well, so I'm going to go 90.
Whoa.
One.
Whoa.
0.2.
So what if it's 89, I win.
We fight to the death.
Do we go price is right rules if it goes over, you're out?
Nah. Because if it's 80, if it's 90.
I think I've said that the past two times in the prediction competition.
You really want that, don't you?
Because if it gets 90, I should be able to win that, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's 89, we'll think about Dan. We'll think about it, but yeah.
Now, we do have a result. Far Cry 6 Metacritic prediction.
Ooh, don't give us what it got yet. Tell us what we guessed.
Okay. Do I do it for PS5?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it for the one where I win.
So Dan said it. Dan said it'd be 86.
Far too high.
Jordan said 84.
Far too high.
Vikarth said 80.
Far too high.
The answer was 74.
Far too high.
So Vikarth is the winner.
El Presidente Anton Castillo. And the Garias.
Well done, Vika.
Of Yara.
Add that to the impression.
74, that's bad. That's not right. That's.
Yeah, it's far too high.
It's too. Oh, geez. The user score at 4.6.
Far too high.
I saw someone on Twitter yesterday trying to legitimize their argument with the user score on a Metacritic. They're like, how can you say they're not game reviewers aren't getting paid off? Look at the user score.
User scores are only basically zeros or tens. That's literally the only two reviews you ever get. But
and for Vanguard, just quickly, Dan had 84, Jordan had 78, Vike had 81. It's currently sitting on a 77. So Jordan, you will be the winner probably.
I never win these. A couple.
So yeah, you should be getting a point here.
We'll see. If IGN give it a 90, that's going to fly up.
Then no one's giving this game a 9, bro. I'll tell you right now, man.
You never know, man.
If two or three of the components are not great, then you can't get more than an 8.
If IGN gave Far Cry a 9 or an 8, or Game Informer gave it a 9, then I can see Far Cry giving this a 9.
You didn't make any sense what you just said. That's all right.
No, if all IGN right. gave it a higher rating, I could see them give this a higher rating is what I'm saying.
Okay, so if I goes to 3 on the leaderboard and Dan's still on 4, Jordan on 1.
By the way, Shin Megami Tensei 5, which is one of my video game critic games, that comes out in a couple of days. So it'd be interesting to see what
the think you've already got scores for it.
We've already got it, 86.
86.
Ah, I'm looking at some old data here.
He obviously don't listen, does he? All right, guys, thanks for tuning in to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. This has been one of our longest ever, so if you're still here, thank you so much.
That is going to mess with Vike's ears when he listens to it later.
And if I talk like this really fast, so it's going to be really hard for people on times two to really hear this. So thank you very much, and we'll see you later.
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 It's been a really good podcast, and thank you very much, and I'll see you later.